The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird. Bird. Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Ilway.
Here.
Yagi. Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik excused. Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart. Lockhart. Lockhart excused. Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen. Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Cheaters.
Here.
Throne. Bronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Bird, Bird, 55 present, 4 excused, 1 absent.
Please stand and join us in the morning prayer with the Reverend Jason Harshberger.
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have promised to hear us when we come to you in prayer. And trusting in your promises and confident in your grace, we come to you and pray for our world, for ourselves, and for our opportunity of leadership. Creator of all, lead us and every people in the ways of justice and peace, that we may respect one another in freedom and in truth. Be with all those who struggle for peace, and bring comfort to them in their time of need. Lead us all to a better understanding of what we can do and how we can make a difference in this world. Awaken us in a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is within it. Teach us to care creatively for all of the earth's resources. God of truth, inspire with your wisdom those whose decisions affect the lives of others, that all may act with integrity and courage. Give grace to all whose lives are linked to ours. May we serve Christ in one another and love as he loved us. God of hope and comfort, restore all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. May they know the power of your healing love. Make us willing agents of your compassion. Strengthen us as we share in making people whole. God of our lives, we each come into your presence this day with certain things on our minds and concerns that weigh heavily upon our hearts. We pray that you now listen to us and comfort us as we take a few moments to share silently with you those burdens that weigh us down. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, for sharing our burdens, and for blessing our lives. Help us always to remember how fortunate we are. We lift all of this today, O Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus walked among us, and in his time was a perfect example of all who would follow him. Remind us of the love and compassion that he shared toward all people, and help us to do the same. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. think you're all in the privilege of the floor today, finally.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know it.
We're at that order of business, Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 22nd has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman.
And with us today, the doctor of the day is Catherine Steinkraft from here in Cheyenne. And we have nurses of the day, Peggy Bezanson and Bev Jensen from the Wyoming State Hospital. Welcome. Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of floor.
Please proceed.
I finally have somebody here, actually, members of the 61st, that's from Star Valley. So I want you to know that people still exist out there, even though this is the first time I've been able to stand up this session. So in my balcony, in the balcony up to the left here, if they'll stand up, we have Scott Milne, the teacher, Kim Gazer, principal of the middle school, and Blair Hillstead, the driver, and members of the Star Valley Middle School that are here visiting today. Please welcome them.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just like to update you on Representative Davidson. The funeral for her brother was on Tuesday. They got through that good. And she just said she wants to thank all you guys for your concern, your love, your prayers. And she looks forward to being here with us on Thursday. She's supposed to be on her way today. So just want to give you a report.
Well, we look forward to having Representative Davidson back into the body here. I'd like to take just a moment to recognize today we have with us in the West Gallery Buck and Susan Klimala. They are the parents of Erica, and thanks to them, they entrusted us with their daughter. Had to make a lot of arrangements for her to be here because of her dual enrollment and all the college classes she's taking while still in high school. So appreciate them for being here today and for allowing Erica to be here with us. She's been a great joy and does a great job. Thank you. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, to whom was referred Senate File 69, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Buchanan, Connolly, Kraft, Gingrey, Goggles, Illaway, Lubno, Patton, Quarburg, Shepperson, Stubbs, and Throne. Signed, Representative Buchanan, Chairman.
We are at that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources regarding acquisition of lands.
Senate File 33, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to professional services procurement.
Senate File 45, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 72.
Senate File 72, introduced by Senator Christensen, an act relating to Fair Procedures Practice of Equipment Act.
Senate File 72, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 79.
Senate File 79, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to Recreation Safety Act.
Senate File 79, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to game and fish violations, penalties.
Senate File 85, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 134.
Senate File 134, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to liens.
Senate File 134, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 138.
Senate File 138, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to parental rights, child custody orders.
Senate File 138, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 144.
Senate File 144, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to administration of government regarding state-funded construction projects preference provisions.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. If you flip in the bill to page 8, there's a subsection D. It reads, presently, the governor may modify any requirement of this section by executive order if he determines it to be necessary to promote effective competitive bidding. Any order shall be effective only until June 30th, 2012, or until superseded by law. What this amendment does is delete that. And really why I brought it has really nothing to do with the bill. It has to do with just separation of powers and that we need to be careful how we write bills. If the bill's not ready to go, then vote down the bill. If the bill has problems, find an amendment to the bill. But we don't do bills and say, hey, we're not sure we worked this too well, so we're just going to give the governor the power to overrule our law or to change our law as he sees fit. That's not how the process works. I mean, if that's how we're going to do it, then we'll start doing it on every bill and just say, hey, I'm not real sure if we got this right, so we'll just give the power to the governor to write the law, and at some point the reason to have the legislature starts to go away. So even though it has really nothing to do with substantively with this bill, I think we always have to be on the guard as to things like this sneaking into bills where the legislature gives up their powers to the executive branch. We need to make sure that we guard against that, and we make sure that the separation of powers between all three branches of the government is respected pursuant to the Constitution. So I would ask that you vote aye and take out this provision that gave the governor the power to essentially overrule our law.
Chairman Burke, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the amendment and so that we can have a further discussion on this. And I would agree with the former speaker's rationale and why we wouldn't want to do this on a regular basis. But most of you have been involved, I think, in some part of developing Senate File 144. And really, we have done this since the fall, since December, and throughout the whole session, working with all the stakeholders. And the real reason for having the governor in there to modify the requirement is for a safety valve. We are not going to be here during the interim to manage this piece of legislation. And as I stated yesterday, it's a temporary fix. It's something that we think we need to address. We want to monitor. And one of the portions that's very, it's new, because as we established yesterday, the 5% preference is in place. We actually have rules of practice for certification of resident contractors and for preference bidding and for enforcing those laws available to us right now, that we had found that with the various individuals that there were complaints, and we looked at trying to tighten this up. So I think that we've done that in a really efficient manner, and we want to make certain that this goes forward. And we also want to make certain that if there are unintended consequences to what's happened with this new piece of legislation in place, that we are able to have someone intervene and work on this process of the bidding and with the Wyoming contractors and make certain that we work with the proposed legislation that we have before us. So that's the reason I would ask you to defeat the amendment. I think that this only goes through the budget process ending June 30th, 2012. We'll be back in December of next year or of this year to start looking at what kind of a results did we get by putting this preference language in place. And so I would ask you to defeat the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, on the amendment, in effect, deletes Section D on page 8. And I'd like to focus people's attention on paragraph E on page 9. And as the good chairwoman of appropriations just stated, this law is only going to be in effect for the rest of the biennium. But we're going to cut loose probably $500 million in construction money. And I think it's important. This is an area that we haven't, worked into. We've done it with, design, bid, build, but we haven't done it with alternative delivery methods. So I think as a part-time legislature, we want to send a message and we want to put this in force, but we also want to have some flexibility when we're gone in our normal lives, and we don't want to do any harm. And so I'd urge your defeat of the amendment and your aye vote on the bill.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment. For a lot of the good reasons that the good speaker pro tem also mentioned, but this is a brand new policy. We're not a temporary legislative body. We are the legislative body, and by our choice, we only sit so many days out of the year. But we still pass statutes and we pass laws when we're down here that are more than just temporary, even though this piece of legislation is just temporary, which is all the more reason not to give the governor the latitude to make changes. It's in effect a very short period of time, and there's many, you read this piece of statute, there's a lot of good stuff in this bill, and I don't think there's any reason to grant the governor, based on this piece of legislation, there's no reason to give him the authority to go in and start changing the statute. Then we're not going to have any idea, if you go to page 9, on the reporting part, we're not going to have any idea. Shall study the impacts of the statutory changes. We're not even going to know what those are if he starts changing those in order to determine what's to promote effective competitive bidding. We just need to let, this is a piece of legislation, as the good chairman of appropriations said, that's had plenty of work. It's been looked over. It's been vetted. It's a good, solid piece of legislation that's going to go into effect on a temporary basis. And I just think we need to let it stand on its own. This is what we do in this body, and not give the governor the authority to go in and decide, oh, well, this piece of legislation is really not working, so I'm just going to go in and I'm going to change it. I don't know why we would want to do that as a body. So this is a very slippery slope we're going down here, folks. And I'm on it in favor of this amendment, and I think we can move forward with this piece of legislation. And I think the Appropriations Committee will get some good feedback on how it's worked when they come back and look at it. So on and in favor of the amendment.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think this was a good catch on the part of the Speaker pro tem. And it's exactly some of the things that I'm hearing more and more from our constituents from out in the districts. They are concerned about these kinds of things getting into statute. So on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You'll recall back a lifetime ago when we heard the State of the State address, one of the things that the Chief Executive Officer talked about was we needed to fix our bid preference statute. And this bill started as a budget amendment. But since there were substantive requirements to it, it turned from a budget amendment into a bill. And that's the history of this document and how it turned into a bill. Now, there's a whole series of specific requirements that are listed in this document that say that when we bid a project, and we've got a half a billion dollars worth of bid projects going out. Now, there were some abuses. Some of the abuses, and I talked at New Legislator School about when you're a freshman legislator, don't accept a bill that you don't know all of the consequences of. And one of those bills I accepted as a freshman legislator was the Construction Manager at Risk bill, which I sponsored and with the help of a lot of people carried through the process. But there were some unintended consequences of that process that we're seeing now where the construction managers would open the bids and then they would go out and shop the bids after the bids were opened to lower the price. And so our in-state contractors were being abused by the process that we put in statute. This bill is aimed to stop those abuses. But there are consequences of stopping those abuses that we may not understand. As you recall, a couple years ago, we built a penitentiary, and we didn't have anybody in state who was capable, large enough to be able to bond to build that penitentiary. But we had requirements to make that happen. Well, with some of these projects, and I can't tell you what they are, there may be those situations arise where we still want to go ahead with the project, but because of our requirements, we can't do that. Now, we don't give the governor complete unfettered authority to cancel all of the statutes in the green books. We give him specific requirements. It says he may modify any requirement of this section, meaning this blue bill here, by executive order if he determines it necessary to promote effective competitive bidding. So it has to be where we save money. And so it doesn't seem to make sense to me to take away the authority of the governor to allow us to save money. And then it says any order shall only be effective until June 30th, 2012, which is the end of the biennium. Now, this isn't unusual authority. We give the governor executive authority all the time to issue executive orders and to transfer funds in his budget through the B11 process. We delegate authority to the governor all the time. He's here all the time. We're not. He can react to the situations all the time. For us to do it, we have to come down and have a special session. So I'd urge you to vote against the amendment and give the governor the authority to react to save the state of Wyoming some money.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, rising on and against the amendment, very simply, very well put by the previous speaker. I don't think that the man downstairs will do anything that would be something that we wouldn't all agree with. And this bill has been worked on. There's been a lot of people putting input into it. It's very, very important to the state of Wyoming, and I wish you'd all vote against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Nicholas.
Rising for and against the amendment. Once again, if you have a $25 million project and the bids come out and we can find out in the next 18 months that we can save $5 million by remodifying the bids in the bid process, it just makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you.
For the first time, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, in looking through the bill, the statement has been made to save money. But Section D doesn't say that. Over on page 2 of the bill, it says, all contracts shall require the construction manager, at risk, or design builder to conduct an open bid process. Well, if for some reason the governor, for whatever reason, and I don't expect it to happen, but it can happen, he decides, no, we aren't going to have any open bid process. So until we come back the next year to fix it, that's part of the problem. Also, then I believe on page 6, it talks about the 5% preference point. He could eliminate the preference point. We're giving him the authority to do that. I agree that the thought process is, if he saves money, let him do it. But it doesn't say that. And he can do just about anything in this bill. And I know the thought process as to why it was done and what we expect is fine, but we also have discussions all the time that we don't let our thought process, if it maybe, you know, it's maybe okay, we'll go ahead and let them do that because we can do something about it later. Well, let's not give it to him now. And if we need to change the bill and we develop the bill, come back and we can change it next year. But no, I'd own and for the amendment and for the bill.
First time, second time, to second time prior to the sponsor, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I mostly bring this just as a general point, trying to stay away from the bill. And again, the reason that we always refer to each other with our district number rather than our name is that it's the seat that we're discussing, not the personality of the person. So with that understanding with the person downstairs, it's not that individual. It's the concept of the governor. It's the concept of having bills where we're going to pass bills but then give the governor power to overrule our bills. That's the philosophical argument. As for this particular bill, this bill is actually not that earth-shattering. You know, when we passed this back in 05, 06, whenever that was, when we did alternative design, an alternative construction delivery, most of the cities and counties figured out real quick that we had left a bunch of stuff out. There was a lot of gaps. Most of the cities and counties figured out how to fill in the gaps. Maybe it's not in the statute, but they figured it out. For whatever reason, our state agencies didn't figure it out. And that's been frustrating that we have state agencies that, you know, maybe if they'd actually called some of the counties and the towns, they would have learned how to do this the way the counties and the towns had been doing it. But it's good. It's going to go into statute now, and it's going to be clarified how you do this. But when you start looking at, the statement was made that the governor could remodify. That's a nice term for, you know what they're talking about. They're talking about the 70%. I mean, when you really go through here, what would you be remodifying? It's actually not the 5%. What you're going to want to tinker with is that 70%. The 70% is the subs. That's most of our constituents. It's not the big contractor that you normally worry about. The big contractor survives. It's that 70% rule with your subs. That's where you start getting into issues as to sustainability of construction folks in our communities. That's what worries me, is that he would start remodifying the 70% rule that has always been the law. Now, there's a provision in here how to remodify it. I would hope he would follow that. I thought it was laid out very nicely in the bill. But, again, should he have that power to rewrite our laws if he doesn't like what's happening? It's a philosophical question. I don't think it has much to do with the bill. It's more of a question, are we going to start doing bills this way or not? If the bill's not ready to go, then vote down the bill. That's the problem. And we still have third reading. If there's still some things we can do, we can work on it tonight and rechange this bill. But we don't write bills and say, hey, I'm not going to work it real hard. I'm just going to turn it over to the governor and let him work it for me later on.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 144, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 144 has failed. Senate File 144 All those in favor of second reading amendment number one to Senate File 144, please stand. Those opposed? The amendment has failed. Senate File 144, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 147.
Senate File 147, introduced by Senator Dockstetter, an act relating to county sheriffs.
Senate File 147 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To my left, members, I have some guests from the district that I serve, House District 33. If you would hold your applause while I introduce them. Saints from St. Stephen's Indian High School, Carlissa Brown, Priscilla Oldman, Ambrose Sehare, Daniel Washington, Alfred Spoonhunter, Wyatt Fletcher, and their sponsor, Perry Ann Stanley, from Wyoming Indian High School, Ray Glenmore, from Fort Washakie High School, Willow Pingree, Brandon Ambo, Shelby Snyder, their sponsor, Wandre Niffin, and from the CWC Gear Up Program, teacher Gary Troutman, and last but not least, a former member of this House and our State Senate, Mark Harris. Let's give them a round of applause.
Welcome to the House. Representative Nicholas.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
One other person who happens to be up there, Mr. Troutman, is also my brother-in-law, so good welcome to him as well.
Welcome to the House. Ladies and gentlemen, after 24 years of service to the people of the state of Wyoming as a physician and community leader, John Barrasso was sworn into the United States Senate in 2007. Elected to the Wyoming State Senate in 2002, reelected in 2006. During his tenure in the Wyoming legislature, he served as chairman of the Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs Committee. He was also a member of the Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee and the Minerals Business and Economic Development Committee. Best known as Wyoming's doctor for his work as the medical director of Wyoming Health Fairs and for his television and radio reports and newspaper columns providing Wyoming's residents with important health information. Currently, he is serving on the Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee, the Environment and Public Works Committee, the Indian Affairs Committee, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Please welcome me. Welcome the United States Senator John Barrasso.
Thank you. Thank you. It is wonderful to be back. Wonderful to be back in the legislature where I sure got my training for 5 years and it's a privilege to work with Mike and Cynthia, all of us who served here. Thanks for that great introduction, Mr. Speaker. The comment about Wyoming's doctor, it sounds like Pat Childress is getting over a bad case of laryngitis. I was listening to your last discussion. You sounded better last week. Yes, sir. Yeah. And I'm not sure where Lockhart is. Maybe I need to make a house call. I hope he... And I just wanted to... Just thank you for the job you do representing the people of Wyoming. This is a place where it is always good to be home, to see a lot of familiar faces, so many new members, to see the incredible staff, and also to see our friends in the lobby. And joining me today is the love of my life, who's in the back of the room, Bobby Brown Barrasso. It's Bobby, as you know, is a breast cancer survivor, and every year we do the Race for the Cure. She and I are the MCs for that, and every year the winning team for kind of the best team performance, not in terms of actually running speed, but in terms of number of people that sign up, is always the Wyoming legislature. So we want to thank you for that. And it is great because we continue, Mike and Cynthia and I in Washington, talk about the fact that Wyoming gets it right and Washington gets it wrong. And when you're talking about balancing the budget, you know how critically important it is. That's why I've introduced, along with others, a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, because Washington needs to start doing things the way that we've done it in Wyoming for 120 years. You know, we're so blessed here, and I know you get, you know, you really are the folks that give the voice to the vision and to the values of the people of Wyoming. You come down here, and I keep a close eye on what's going on because I still have my old email address from when I was in the legislature. And just last night at 6 o'clock, I got my daily update from the Wyoming Education Association and Mr. Sniffen and what he thought of Alan Jagey's amendment to a piece of legislation that you're debating today. So I keep a really close eye on what you're doing, but in the lessons learned from Al Simpson, there is no greater deliberative body than the Wyoming legislature, and I never question their wisdom because you do get it right time and time again. So thanks so much for letting Bobby and me be here to visit with you. We're very blessed in this state. We are very blessed with incredible resources. The resources are our families, our communities, and then, of course, our land. And, you know, I served on the Minerals Committee here and now on the Energy Committee in Washington, and I focus on the fact that we do it right in Wyoming. I traveled with John McCain to some foreign countries, and every place we went, he would introduce me as from Wyoming, one of the nation's most beautiful states. And we are, through multiple use of the land. We know how we have to focus on energy security, environmental stewardship, because we do it right, and economic growth. And we get that balance right in Wyoming, and they don't have it right in Washington. So I continue to work on that. You know, you wake up every morning, and you say, what do I need to do today in the legislature to make life better for the people in my home community and the people of Wyoming? And I wake up every day in Washington and I say, what do I have to stop today so it doesn't make life worse for the people at home in Wyoming? And those are the battles that are being gone that we continue to go with. That's why I've introduced a bill called the Affordable American Energy and Jobs Act to say, let people make the right decisions and not have the Environmental Protection Agency come out with very expensive mandates that don't in any way really, which hurt our economy and don't really, in my opinion, do much environmentally. It's why I've introduced a bill called the State Health Care Choice Act, because I think states ought to make the decisions. Washington shouldn't tell you what you have to do with Medicaid and with mandates that everybody has to have insurance and mandates that employers have to provide that insurance. So I want states to be able to opt out. But that's the bottom line, is that the people of Wyoming have elected you to really give voice to their vision and their values. And what this legislature can accomplish in 40 days is more than the legislative bodies in Washington accomplish in 40 weeks, and you do a much better job of it. So thanks so much. It's great to be home. Thanks for letting me be with you today.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, Senator Barrasso, thank you for taking the time to come visit with us, and we wish you the best of everything in continuing to serve Wyoming in the United States Senate. Thank you. Representative Escobel.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
On our north balcony, we got some fifth graders from Hobbs Elementary School and their teacher, Mrs. Helen Gerstein. Or maybe they left. They followed the senator.
Were they there? Oh, they left. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate files 9, 10, 55, 62, 65, 115, and 119.
Does anyone wish to have any of the bills removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 9, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to economic analysis, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 10, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to animals, protection of livestock animals, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 55, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to subdivisions, perimeter partition, fencing, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 62, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 65, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to animal remedies to livestock, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 115, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to the operation of motor vehicles, DUI child endangerment fines, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 119, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to real estate brokers and salesmen, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Flickery. Flickery. Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison excused. Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Harvey. Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic excused. Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Laux.
Aye.
Ludnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Horberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 4 excused. As to Senate File 9, are there any changes? Gingrey, aye to no. Petroff, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Barbudo, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Throne, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Nicholas. Okay. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 ayes, 9 noes, 4 excused. As to Senate File 10, are there any changes? Hunt, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 ayes, 9 noes, 4 excused. As to Senate File 55, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Crone, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 1 no, 4 excused. As to Senate File 62, are there any changes? Simlick, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Vronish, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? S. Eklund, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there additional changes? McKim, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 42 aye, 14 no, 4 excused. As to Senate File 65, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused. As to Senate File 115, are there any changes? Botten, conflict. Ronish, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 1 no, 4 excused, 1 conflict. As to Senate File 119, are there any changes? Swanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 1 no, 4 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, Senate Files 9, 10, 55, 62, 65, 115, and 119 have passed the House. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 73.
Senate File 73, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to environmental quality, municipal solid waste landfills, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1, and I will briefly explain. We had a second reading amendment, and we need to have a technical correction. In that second reading amendment brought by the good chair of revenue, we took out an and in that definition, we wanted that to include all of those components, and that and was necessary, and we missed a semicolon. So that's the first part of that amendment, is to clean that up. The second part of the amendment, the third reading amendment, is again to amend and add to the second reading amendment from the good chair of revenue. And it is to just clarify just a little bit, add a little bit specificity to the term of where we talk about which is capable of yielding to wells or springs which produce more than 0.5 gallon of water per minute. One of the concerns was how, if you cut into a perched water table or an area, it could generate that much or that amount of water. And so the amendment simply adds a sustainable volume of more than 0.5 gallon of water per minute, just to make sure that wasn't just a single point in time. And that's the amendment.
For your first time, Chairman Childers.
It's a good amendment.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 73, please say aye. Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 73 has been adopted. Senate File 73 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Kraft,
aye.
Davison excused, Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel, Esquivel, Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic excused, Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart, excused. Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen, excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Swanitzer
Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 3 no, 4 excused.
Senate File 73, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 73 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 146.
Senate File 146, introduced by Senator Nicholas. An act relating to teacher contracts, Teacher Accountability Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 146. I brought this because underneath, on page 11, underneath the heading findings, we make a lot of assertions there, and these are statutes. And frankly, I'm just having a hard time. I would have liked to strike the whole section, but I just found one of them to be just really just out of line. And that would be lines 6 through 10 on page 12. Unless somebody can actually show me some data that supports these, I think that this should be deleted. And actually, I really like to delete the whole section, but I'd stand for questions to see if anybody can give me that information.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, I think we had a policy decision yesterday that we're going to leave the findings in. If we are going to leave the findings in, we need to leave all the findings in. I think they're pretty well balanced. To go through and cherry pick the one that you don't like because you don't agree with, then we need better justification than that. There was a lot of thought that was put into them, and if we're going to stick with them, I say we stick with them all. I would urge you to vote no.
Anyone else for their first time, second time, prior to the sponsor, Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm all for leaving them in, but show me some data that supports these accusations. On and for the amendment. And I call for the question.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 146 has failed. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number two to Senate File 146 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, yesterday we had long, good discussions about this bill, and one of the elements that we talked about was Section 217.110, beginning on page 6 and going over to page 7. And there, if you'll remember, we were cleaning up language, including, for example, taking out Romanet 1 and 2, incompetency and neglect of duty, because they're subsumed under 6, failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner. And if you remember, the good speaker pro tem talked about Romanet 3, immorality, including without limitation, and had an amendment that had us beginning on line 7, engaging in conduct with a student, et cetera. And members of the body brought up some very good examples of the possibility of immorality that wouldn't come under those Wyoming statute sections. And in particular, the example was given of a teacher having a sexual relationship with a student who was 18 years old. And though not illegal, we all decided, and we know that that's immoral. But going along the lines of wanting to make this section, you know, very specific, and again, we had taken out incompetency and neglect of duty because those weren't specific terms, this amendment here goes to that level of specificity by adding in the language that we talked about yesterday, immoral behavior with a student. And so I will stand for any comments or questions. Again, what we're doing is adding in the specific language that we talked about yesterday as wanting to make sure that we were covering, rather than kind of a generic language of immorality, which could mean so much more.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, on and against the amendment. I appreciate the good representative from House District 13's amendment for discussion purposes. However, I think most of us would agree that there are a few more occupations in this world more important than teachers, because they are a role model to our students. They educate our students, and our students emulate their behavior. Every profession, and 99%, I would say, and I don't have any statistics to back this up either, but 99% of our teachers, or maybe even 99.9% of our teachers, we don't have to worry about this section of the bill with regard to those teachers. But in every occupation, there are individuals that engage in immorality, and it happens within our schools. And I would submit to you to just narrow this down to immoral behavior with a student basically sells this bill short. There are many instances where you could have immorality that doesn't involve a student at all. And if you look at the bill on page 7, and we starts on the bottom of page 6, and why you could suspend or dismiss any of the following reasons. I'm not going to read them, but you go through there and you look. We're dealing with subsection Romanet 3, immorality. You go through the rest of them, and the only catch-all provision there is 8. And it says any other good or just cause relating to the educational process. So your only catch-all provision in this bill, it has to be related to the educational process. So if you have a situation which has happened in districts within my county, where you have teachers doing things without going into detail that actually have no bearing on the educational process. It's after hours, but it's in your school building. Other teachers find out about it. It's poor role modeling. It doesn't involve a student. You tell me where in here then, and it's not a felony, where in here does that come into play when you're talking about adequate teacher performance and whether or not you could dismiss or suspend them under the bill? There are a lot of situations where if you adopt this amendment that administrators and principals would be unable to suspend or dismiss a teacher. And so I'm on and against the amendment.
Chairman Harvey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I guess one of the instances that I thought of was during teacher prep time or following school is to use school equipment to view pornography, and that maybe you did not do that with a student, but it still would be a moral behavior, and it still would be something that I think would be cause for dismissal.
Representative Throne, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I do believe the last example of from the good chairman of labor is no doubt covered by school policy. What I'm concerned about is just the broad use of the language immoral. Immoral according to whom? Adultery, I think most of us would consider immoral. But, you know, adultery occurring outside the context of the school in private really shouldn't justify firing somebody, but under this provision, it could. Gambling, some of us might consider immoral or at least bad judgment. Are we going to fire somebody for betting on the Super Bowl? This is very broad language, and it needs to be tied to the education process. I guess I'd also add that that catch-all phrase at the end encompasses probably a lot of the vague categories that we're trying to capture. You know, everybody has different standards of immorality, and so we're really subjecting teachers to something pretty open-ended. So, again, immorality according to whom?
And so I'd urge you to support the amendment.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My mother was down yesterday and down here watching us. She used to be a teacher for many years, starting in the 60s, and actually both my sisters teach and my wife teaches, so we certainly discuss these type of bills. My mother was talking about how when she started in the early 60s, if you lived with the person, that was termination immediately from a school district. If you were living with somebody, if your skirt was a little too high above your knees, I think you got terminated, but you certainly got a talking to about wearing the proper apparel. And when my grandmother taught, even before that, if you got married, now this wasn't immoral behavior, but once you got married, you no longer could be a teacher. Only single females could be teachers. When my grandmother started teaching, that's not that issue, but it's sort of interesting how these, I use those as illustrations as how our culture changes over time. The one that it gets used on the most nowadays, where you hear this immoral actually being used, is, there was one recently in the magazine, newspaper, person was posing for pictures in a particular type of men's magazine. Totally unrelated to the educational part, but they were terminated because that was immoral behavior. And that's what we're really talking about. And that comes down to, is that something someone should be terminated from their employment from or not? And some people think you should, and some people don't think you should. But that's what we're talking about. Are we talking about behavior around a child that you're teaching? And so it comes down to just a philosophical discussion as to which way you look at that. And so I urge you to vote for the amendment and vote aye.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had long discussions with the prime sponsor of this bill on the Senate side on where this language came from and how this language was developed. And where this language was developed was looking at the statutes of the several states of the United States and looking at their existing case law and seeing what their grounds for termination are. Because what tenure prevents is termination from the job for non-job related activities. So what are the job-related activities that you want to be able to terminate a teacher for? And immorality is a defined term. There are lots of cases on it. There's lots of existing case law on it. You can all imagine situations, and we've had situations in my district and other districts that I represent and other teachers that I represent where teachers are having relations between periods during their study break. Is that physical incapacity? No. Is it neglected duty? Probably not. Is it incompetency? Probably not. Is it failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner? Probably not. Is it inadequate performance due to your evaluation? I'll let you answer that. Or any other just cause, those catch-all phrases are real hard to use because you have to justify those. So immorality needs to be in there for those types of behaviors that may be with students or not with students. Now, what this amendment does is it creates a special class of people, students. If you're immoral with students, that's fine. But if you're immoral around students, that's not fine. And that's not a very good distinction to draw, because a perfectly legal activity is making adult videos. If you make adult videos for adult viewing, that's perfectly legal in the United States. But if your students are watching them and that causes a huge distraction in the classroom, then maybe those are grounds for termination or should be grounds for termination, but we don't decide that. Our individual school boards and administrators do under this bill. So I'd urge you not to vote for this amendment and to allow our district's flexibility to judge situations that they have to judge and confront, and not to unreasonably constrain them and place those boards in situations where they believe that a teacher is a threat to student performance by virtue of the language that we choose here. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, I would like to remind the body that we're dealing with current language. Currently, we do have the definition of immorality as a grounds for termination. This piece of legislation was an attempt to try and broaden a district's ability to deal with teachers that need to be terminated. This narrows it. It actually takes the bill in the opposite direction. I do thank everyone for the good conversation about it, but I think there are too many instances, in fact, when there could be a situation where a teacher needs to be terminated for immoral acts, and we would not be able to do that if we remove this. We've had this on the books for 30-plus years, and I haven't heard one person come to the mic and say that it's been abused in some way in the past. It's working well on the ground, and I think we need to leave it the way it is. I would urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative, anyone else for their first time? Second time, Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With regards to the examples provided by the good majority floor leader, I think they actually support the amendment. If a teacher is making an adult video and showing it to students, it's covered by the amendment. The problem with the bill as it currently exists is if the teacher makes an adult movie and watches it in the privacy of their own home, perhaps with, you know, friends over who tell somebody, that's also covered by the bill. That would be immorality under certain definitions. Perfectly legal, has nothing to do with school, but could get somebody fired. I think it's also worthy to point out to the body that some people consider gays and lesbians to be immoral, and they could also be fired under this clause. Where are we going with this? Immorality is a very broad term. Divorce is immoral, as far as I'm concerned, under most circumstances. So are we going to fire somebody for being divorced? So let's think about what we're doing and support the amendment.
For your second time, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. You know, I would say that what this amendment does is it narrows the language and actually takes away from local control, in the sense that it takes away from the discretion at the local level of your school boards and your administrators to look at these issues on a case-by-case basis. My good friend from Laramie County brings up some good points, and in her first time at the mic, she mentioned gambling and she mentioned adultery, and she said, well, adultery is that's immoral, gambling in the eye of the beholder, and I think we all would agree with those statements, and I think that was dead on. But then take that in the context of that activity occurs inside the school building, and you look at what you've got on pages 6 and 7 of this bill and tell me where it would fit in. If you had teachers that were not gambling around students, but it was inside the school building, whether it be after hours or whenever, the lunch break, in between periods, they're shooting craps, playing dice, playing whatever, gambling game, you look at that and you say, well, is that immoral? I don't know. Do you want it happening in your school? I doubt it, and I think most of us would agree. But are they neglecting their duty? No, they're in between periods. Are they incompetent because they gamble? No. I can speak for myself. I've played blackjack before. Do I think it's immoral? No. But if I did it at school, I would suspect that I could be in trouble for that. But under this language, you can't be, because none of it would be under the catch-all, related to the educational process, because I'm not doing it around the kids, and I'm doing it in between class periods. Now, step from gambling to adultery, okay? That's another step up on this ladder. Again, if it happens in the school building, but it's not around any kids, well, technically, it's not related to the educational process, so I can't be fired or suspended for any other good or just cause because no student saw it. It was in between class periods. It was after hours. It happened in my classroom, but it didn't affect my kids. Technically, it didn't affect the educational process. I'm not neglecting my duties. Didn't do it during school hours. I didn't do it in front of the students. Doesn't have anything to do with my incompetency. I'm not being insubordinate. I'm not failing to perform my duties. I've done everything right by the students, but I'm having a physical affair in the classroom. You adopt this amendment, and that type of behavior under this bill, you could not do anything about, I submit. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time before the sponsor, Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip, and thank you all for the good conversation about this. I must push back a little bit on our good speaker. In all honesty, if a teacher is doing everything right by the students, quoting him, then I don't think he or she should lose her job. All right, again, if somebody is doing everything right by the students, he or she shouldn't be losing his or her job based on activity that is totally and completely outside of the educational process. And again, what 21.7.110 is doing is giving the parameters to a school board for the reasons that they can suspend or terminate a teacher. And our language is really specific. It is about insubordination, the physical incapacity to perform a job, a failure to perform duties, inadequate performance. It's specific, with one exception, and that's the catch-all. And the catch-all, we're all talking about page 6 and 7, but turn to page 8. The last Romanet 8, is any other good or just cause relating to the educational process. The school board here would need to really consider behavior that's outside of the educational process for termination or suspension, but can do so. So there's a good catch-all. We added good new language to our statutes that gives school boards a catch-all. So, in fact, we're not narrowing what school boards can do, but we're expanding it with this catch-all. And so I would encourage you to vote yes. Thank you.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 146 has failed. All those in favor, please stand. All those against? Someone needs some hearing aids, and it's not me this time. The amendment has failed. Representative Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move at this time third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 146 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, it's on page 7 of the bill. Yesterday we had a second reading amendment that took out on line 2 and line 4 the terms incompetency and neglect of duty, and my amendment simply tries to reinstate those. And I think for the following reasons. First of all, I mean, we have continuing contract tenure in this state because of our state statutes. It's not because we have collective bargaining or we have any union contracts or anything else. It's a right to work state. It's part of our state statutes. It's been there for over 50 years. And the reasons why those reforms went nationwide, really, were to protect teachers from dismissal for reasons not associated with their jobs. Because it happens. Okay, so that's part of the statute. What this bill does, and I think it was said previously in arguments on the previous amendment, this bill simply broadens ways that you can dismiss teachers. And the way we did it simply is on page 7, on line 14, 17, and 20. Physical incapacity to perform job duties, even with reasonable accommodations. And then on line 17, failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner. And then 20, inadequate performance is determined through annual performance evaluation tied to academic growth.
So those are a broadening then of our statutes in the way that we can dismiss teachers. What the amendment, in my opinion, did yesterday is narrow that, which I think is not the intent of the sponsors of this bill or even of this body. By removing incompetency and neglect of duty, we narrow the bill. And I would argue that, first of all, incompetency and neglect of duty are common terms in Wyoming statutes. It's used in our civil codes for our civil servants in other areas, local government. And then I guess I'd finally argue that incompetency and neglect of duty have over 50 years of case law behind them. And I think the argument can be made that it is different than failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner. And that was really the argument yesterday, that those two are the same as line 17. And I disagree with that, and so I'd encourage you to support the amendment and not narrow this bill. The idea of the bill is to widen it. And so I'd stand for any questions. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday I was trying to work the bill and go through and figure out, are there repeats? Because one of the things you try to do, if you look on page 6, you're going to list reasons. It says list the following reasons. And so we've added some, that's true. Do any repeat themselves? Because you have to remember, okay, let's pretend you're the principal, now you're going to terminate someone. You have to pick one of 8. There's 8 choices you have. Which one are you going to pick? Now, some of them appear to say the same thing. I don't know, and the good speaker before me seems to know, but I didn't get it, that somehow incompetency is the same or is different. Incompetency is different than failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner. I see those as the same thing. I mean, one seems to be a harsher term. I guess if you're really, really pissed off at this teacher, you charge them with incompetence because then they have to fill it out on their applications after that. You know, maybe when you know, signing something, you know, I was fired for incompetency sounds a lot worse than I was fired because I did not perform in a satisfactory manner. So if that's the reason, that's the only one I can think of, is that you really want to, you know, let this teacher know that you think they're completely incompetent, and not just that they're satisfactory manner. The neglect of duty is actually the one I have a more issue with, because it doesn't define what the duty is. What duty am I neglecting? Normally, when you have statutes like this, you would define the duty, and then you would, you know, that you're neglecting it. I assume what they're meaning is that your duty to perform the functions of your job in a satisfactory manner. That would be the duty. But again, now we're repeating ourselves. So it starts to be structure of a bill. Part of our role here is not just to pass legislation, but also make sure it's worded well, that we have good formatted legislation, that when you pick up a bill, it flows nicely. I'm not getting why you need to keep incompetency and neglect of duty in there when you already have subsection 6, which is failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner. You can leave them in. That's fine. Vote for the amendment. I'm just saying, why are we repeating ourselves and making a messy bill? You know, I think part of our objective here should be to make a clean bill that's easy for people to read.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. And I think my argument's been already made is that we have to have something nice and clean to where that that can be defended in court and can also be defended when that unfortunate event comes to where it's time to terminate somebody from a position. I think that the key word here, though, is audience. I've been selected 3 times to be a mentor to beginning teachers, and I'm a department head. And I've been asked the question, you know, how do I lose my job? What can they fire me for? And nice, common phrases work out very well. Incompetency. I can define that in terms of what they do in the class. The neglect of duty. There was a circumstance about a year ago where we were evacuated from the building. And basically what happened was is it was very hard for us to keep high school students in groups so that we could enter back into the room. And we were gathering on the side of the road. And I went up to another teacher and said, I think that you have to put your children, your students, actually I said kids, on the sidewalk and make sure that they stay in a group. That's your duty. And it was understood. I don't think that taking these words out of the bill makes it better. And by leaving it in, you talk about a legal audience, and by putting them back in, you're also talking to teachers and administrators. I'm for the amendment.
Chairman Brown, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. We do this all the time. We write language that overlaps, that is redundant, and that tries to say the same thing a couple different ways, maybe once specifically and once more generally, and that's not a problem. The only time we run into a problem is if we start to put language in a bill that's internally inconsistent. That creates inconsistencies. Then ultimately, you're given the Supreme Court a lot of problems because they're required to the extent they can to make every word in a statute count. And if you put them in a position where you just can't make them both count, then they start interpreting our legislative intent. They're off and running. They're out there free of any constraints. But this doesn't do that. I don't see any inconsistency in here. If we want to talk about incompetency, failure to perform duties in a satisfactory manner, I don't see anything inconsistent in that. If we want to talk about neglect of duty and inadequate performance as determined through annual performance evaluation tied to student academic growth, I don't see any problem with that. And the fact of the matter is the charging document would probably say both. It would probably say incompetent under Romanet 1 and failed to perform their duties under Romanet 6 or neglect of duty under Romanet 2 and inadequate performance under Romanet 7. There's no inconsistency there, and it just gives a broader application to the language. So on and for the amendment, I think it helps the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, folks, I don't think it's the intent to narrow the reasons for dismissal. That's not the intent of this bill. And I think part of our role here, too, is talk about role in the first go-round is to shorten and clean, those kind of things. But a big part of our role is to not complicate a very time-tested, complicated part of employment law by throwing out some terms that are used all throughout employment law with civil servants and really leave it up to more interpretations and more work for our legal friends. So on and for the amendment. Thank you.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 146 has been adopted. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 146. What this was, this had to do with the length of tenure, and we passed that, but the folks in our legislative service office came and said we made an error, and so we're deleting 2011 and number 5. And so it all is a technical correction. We need to do this. There will be another bill coming next that has these corrected words in it, but we need to correct that in case it doesn't pass. Thank you.
All right. No one for first time or second time, I'm assuming. So adoption of third reading amendment number 4 to 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, I'm back again. I move
Third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 146 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, yesterday we had a long discussion about the second reading amendment that increased continuing contract from 3 to 5 years. It was a long, good discussion, and I think as everyone remembers, that vote was pretty close. And in the spirit of compromise, what this amendment does is simply kind of lower that number to 4. So taking the kind of the 3 years that was in the bill to the 5 years that we passed and makes it 4. And friends, I draw your attention to an LSO research brief that was delivered to your box this morning. And if you flip to the second page, the second and third page, what you have is a really nice chart, table 2, that has on it the minimum number of years of experience to receive tenure. And as you just scan down, what you'll see is the 3 years, which was what our statute was over and over and over again, and a couple that are less than that and a couple that are more than that. Us going up to 5 years puts us way out at that extreme in terms of the number of years to get to tenure. Bringing us down to 4 again makes us a bit closer to that 3. And again, I kind of marked off the states surrounding us, which is, you know, where we are searching for the best and the brightest teachers often come from the region. And again, you'll see that they're at 3 years. So again, in the spirit of compromise, not going back to the 3, but having continuing contract before. So what this amendment does, again, is it deletes the second reading amendment where we went up to 5, and it puts in the year 4 and all that appropriate new language that we just had with the previous amendment as well. And so I'll stand for any questions. Thank you.
Member Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, I do appreciate the spirit of compromise, but as we know, this is a long, deliberate process. As we move across the hall, this will probably be the compromise, but right now it's too soon, in my opinion, for us to go with the 4. It leaves us no position to compromise. And so I would urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative McKim, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in favor of this. Once again, this is just simply an option. It was a close vote the other day, and all we're saying is if you weren't comfortable yesterday and if you think it's something to be looked at, then vote for this today. But if you're uncomfortable with it, then vote nay on it. But it's just a compromise, just something that's an option for you as a body to look at. Thank you.
For your first time, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the amendment, this is a new learning curve for school board members to undertake in terms of determining the tenure of teachers. Right now, many of our school boards look at tenure, and it's been discussed 2 years, and making that decision rather quickly. We're moving it out to 5 years, and the learning curve for board members is it's rather lengthy. I've been there. I've been a board member. I've had those discussions about continuing contract teachers. And folks, let me tell you, that's where the rubber really meets the road, because you're talking about people's lives. You're talking about their livelihood. You're talking about, you know, how they're going to make a living. You're talking about affecting their financial future. So we want to be able to get the board, school boards, that local control, this is the way to look at it, you know. Bring it down to 4, produce that learning curve, allow them to make that decision, you know, normally, like I said, within 2 years. And as far as a compromise with the other side, I'm not sure the other side is in any mood to compromise with us right now.
First time, Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if you referred to the LSO research, man. You did. And, you know, and I supported the 5 years yesterday, and my support was kind of different. We all come here with impressions from what happens in our real life and how we kind of apply that. And then we try to learn and research more. And I had particularly a gentleman in mind that moved his family 2 years, and our policy is 2 years. If they're not a rock star, whack. Well, we're not even going 3. And so I thought about this guy because he,
You know, in 2 years, a lot of times a new teacher, their success really is rapport. It might not be effectiveness of instruction, but can they get along with kids and, you know, those kind of things, I think, early on. And it takes 5 or more years to really not so much get good at what you're teaching, but make sure kids are learning what you're teaching. And so I had that thought in my mind, to maybe give these guys just another year or two, folks who are close on the bubble. So I don't know. And I look at this research memo, and 5 is out there. 4 is another step. I think I could probably support this amendment, you know. But I wanted to just say one thing, too. And it's kind of giggling. I was keeping a list here the last 2 days. I mean, these are serious issues we've talked about. And so we've talked about, and I know in discussion, and so this is, Mr. Speaker, give me a little leeway here, but we've talked about arsonists, gamblers, murderers, and sex offenders. And I would just tell you, though, that these folks that are coming into these jobs are some of the most highly educated folks in our community. A lot of the people who read in your church, run your youth sports programs, raise good kids. And I tell you, the new folks who are coming into this state, they're like the guys of 100 years ago. They're coming here, leaving their family and friends and past employment behind to come to a new adventure in Wyoming. And so I just wanted to make that point as I was keeping my list on my deal. So I'm going to support this, Mr. Speaker. I think it's probably, just as I learn more and think about it from the other side, I guess, a person's trying to set up a family and a community, make that community their life's work, and when can they buy a house in the community, those kind of things. So I think this is a reasonable compromise, and appreciate the bringers of the amendment. Thank you.
I might add the context of those comments is important. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I'm speaking on and for the amendment, perhaps for a little bit different reason. It was suggested that this might be a part of negotiations in the Joint Conference Committee that might ultimately come to be. And if it is, then perhaps we could take it back to 3, where it was before, on the basis that, and in respect to the people that I talked to this last weekend, as the coach has also said, they don't last 3 years if they're not going to perform, if they're not going to be excellent and fit within the system. They're going to be coached out of the idea of a continuing contract. So 3 years is probably more than adequate, assuming that the principal, the superintendent, and the board are really doing their job.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the previous the amendment we're trying to amend here, I talked about teachers and how long it takes some of them to get their feet on the ground. There are some things like that, but there's another issue here. This bill really is about teacher accountability. And this bill, in my mind, holds the administrative people, the principals and the superintendents, feet to the fire. And it says you will look at student achievement, and you will rate and hold teachers accountable based upon that type of information. And your job is to help these teachers. Look at this. Provide all the resources that are available in the model. And believe me, there's a lot of them in our funding model. So that's one of the reasons that I said we need to extend this out. Because one of those teachers does get terminated, doesn't achieve tenure, that's a black mark on their record when they try and get another job. And we should be helping to teach these teachers how to teach some of these kids. Some of these teachers come out of there and they're very good, and they're very good. Say they took their training in elementary, and they were dealing with kids K-3 or something like that. All of a sudden, the need is for somebody to deal with the older kids. That's difficult transition. So that's the reason I said we should give teachers more time before the school board steps up and says, you know, we're not going to take a chance on you. You appear to be a marginal teacher. We're not going to offer you tenure, so we're going to terminate your contracts. We're not going to offer you a contract. That's where I was coming from with this. Now, I'd like to see this bill have a chance to work and help educate some of our teachers that are struggling. That was the intent of this. So I'd ask you to vote your conscience on this. 3 years or 5 years. But I think that's where I was coming from, and I'd like to explain my vote.
Representative Bonner, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with the underpinning of this this move to extend the time for initial contract teachers. But yesterday, as I reflected on what we had done with the passage of the amendment, my only concern, the concern that I came to was this, will this have an effect, or how might this affect our ability to recruit teachers? And with the research that has been presented to us, and I see how we relate to our region, I am in favor of the compromise that was brought forward, and I'm going to be supportive of that. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would argue that the compromise is not necessarily a compromise, but an attempt to keep us at the three where we're at. For us to be able to maintain the four, we're going to have to stay at five. It's just that simple. We've all been in this process. We understand it. If your intention is, and your hope was to keep it at three, like the good representative from Sheridan, and I appreciate his honesty, then go ahead and vote for the amendment, because that will be the end result of how the outcome will be. I'm confident. So I would urge you to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you all for good conversation again. Again, to me, this is quite telling. This says that at 4 years, we will be one of the toughest states in the nation in terms of continuing contract. I think what we do in this body is what's right for us, what's right for our citizens, what's right in the bills, and we don't worry about what goes on across the hall. In fact, we pass good legislation. And so I would ask you to vote yes on this amendment, because it's the right thing to do. Thank you.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 5 to Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand. The amendment is adopted. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Yeah, sorry, folks, but I hate to interrupt the debate, and I jumped the gun earlier today, but it's a good debate, and there's a lot of people up in the balcony that really appreciate it, I'm sure. And I want to introduce, there's about 70 kids from Hobbs up there. They couldn't get in the balcony earlier. And their teachers are Paige Snyder, Leah Leach, and Helen Gernstein. Welcome to the house.
Welcome to the house. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday we passed second reading amendment number 2. And to kind of refresh your memory, Chairman Brown brought us an amendment to get to make sure that We school boards and superintendents are being responsible for what their duties were. What I'm proposing is just to add on to that and to kind of clear up some things that may get muddied. If you're reading the thing right, the amendment, sorry about that. It says the amendment that we passed yesterday said the school district superintendent shall provide a report to the Board of Trustees identifying performance through evaluations. What I propose for you to consider is that the school district superintendent shall provide a confidential report. Confidential is the word that I would put in there so that it's not getting out into the public to where that it could be misinterpreted. To the Board of Trustees identifying exceptional, satisfactory, and unsatisfactory performance. The reason why I bring this amendment is to maintain the confidentiality so that we do not have problems with personnel issues. And we passed a bill this session to where that we're going to talk about merit pay. And by putting exceptional in there, we start that process in to where that a teacher or an administrator or an employee can have a record to where that they can point and say, yes, I have been exceptional. There is the proof there. There's other language in that to improve instruction and identified with unsatisfactory performance, and I think that that's basically just a technical correction. I would encourage you to vote aye on the amendment.
For your first time, Chairman Brown? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't. Oh, you need to move the amendment. You apparently didn't do that.
I move third reading amendment number 6.
Thank you. Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I consider this a friendly amendment and improvement on what we're doing, and actually takes us closer to where I'd like us to be, which is if I were dictator for a day, I'd say bring me a list every year and list on there your top 20% performers and your bottom 10% performers. And I didn't think I could push it that far. This goes part of the way and says on behalf of the school board, bring me a list every year and tell me who your exceptional people are, who your satisfactory people are, and who your unsatisfactory people are. That's kind of where I want to get. And before we could ever go to a merit pay system, I think we need to test that. We need to give that a test run in this thing and see how our administrators perform. If we gave merit pay right now, we know from the statistics virtually everybody would get merit pay. So what is merit pay when everybody's getting it? It doesn't distinguish. So this takes us part of the way and gives us a chance to test this and see whether our administrators could distinguish in such a way that we could make merit pay work. So for all those reasons, I think it's a good amendment, and I'd urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? Second time? All those in favor of third reading amendment number 6 to Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Third reading amendment number 7, I move to pass that. And basically what this amendment does is it takes out the amendment that we had yesterday that wouldn't allow a board of trustees to shorten the initial contract period for a teacher. It was said that they didn't think that anybody used that, and just walking around the chamber, I found that that is not true. Again, I use the argument is if we're going to reward exceptional teachers, especially young exceptional teachers, and give them maybe a head start economically, and they've performed 2 years or, in now this case, 3 years, that they could waive the last year and put a put a teacher on a continuing contract basis before the 4 years or the clock ran out. Again, what I consider this is that we reward good teachers and show that in a very positive and concrete manner.
Your first time, Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, I did my own little research into this, and there may be districts out there that are randomly using this. It's not anything that's used with a great amount of districts in the state. And I personally think that if you're going to reward a young teacher, there's other ways you can do it. We're looking at creative ways to do that in the future, but going ahead and allowing districts to forward this continuing contract status, I think really erodes the whole concept and the statute, and I would urge you to vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time, prior to the sponsor, Representative Freeman? Question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess two things to consider. If you look at that sheet that was handed out with the continuing contracts and initial, if you go to college and you become an engineer and you are employed by the state of Wyoming, what happens is you are employed at a higher rate than what you do that you are as a teacher, and basically after 1 year your probationary status is gone. If you are a teacher, you went through the same 4 years. You paid the same student loans, and what happens is you're getting paid less, and what happens is you do not have, you're on probation for three years. And I don't see, I see some of the reasons for that. When you're a teacher, you have to go through a full school year before you realize how well you did. And then you go through the second year and you get better. And usually by the third year, if you're going to be a good teacher, it hit. And everybody knows it, the teacher, the principal, parents, students know that. So I understand the idea that you go a little bit longer with a teacher, okay? I think, again, it comes down to local control. I think that the school boards are more close to the people and can make that decision much better than what we can sitting in Cheyenne. So I ask you to support the amendment. Thank you.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 7 to Senate File 146 has failed. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 8 to Senate File 146 and give you a little overview of the reasoning behind it, and then I'll go through the bill itself, or the amendment itself. What this does, ladies and gentlemen, is it adds a possible course of action in situations like this that's intermediate between what's currently contained in the bill when dealing with continuing contract teachers that have unsatisfactory evaluations. Right now, the option is there in this bill to, you can outright terminate the individual, or I think by default, we can leave the employment status the same as it was, and maybe work on some improvement plans or something like that. What this amendment simply says is that if both the district and the teacher agree, the teacher can go on an annual contract for 1 year with a chance to improve teaching methods or whatever the unsatisfactory evaluation is based upon, as an alternative to outright termination. And it provides that 1 year, and if you want to read we can read the bill just briefly, the top there. It says that This goes on page 6 after line 2, and it enters a new section called B here. A teacher who's received continuing contract status on and after July 1, 2012, and who subsequently receives a notice of termination based on inadequate performance may, at the option of the school district, be employed during the ensuing school year, provided the teacher agrees to the provisions in paragraphs 1 and 2. And if that should happen, as it says on line 18, the notice of termination will be rescinded for that year. And I think the logic behind this is that it would enhance the motivation. There are certain cases that I can imagine, scenarios where this provision could be of great benefit to the teacher in certain cases, and it would also be a benefit possibly to districts in some cases as well. And I think that it, it does a little bit more of a proactive thing than just saying, well, you're on continuing status and please try to improve. I think that this is another avenue of resolution to this, and it certainly, in my mind at least, would have a positive impact on accountability. So I'd urge you to consider this and would welcome questions and remarks that you might have. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I can't find the rule, but I think it's there that I can make a motion, since it's a third reading amendment, make a motion to for a technical correction on line 23. Says B shall, said should say shall be. So I make a motion to correct that language to say shall be.
Okay, what line are you on there?
Line 23.
Okay, the motion is to reverse the order of the words B shall.
Point of order, Mr. Just strike the word B on line 23.
What's your motion, Chairman Brown? You need to make the motion clear because I've got everyone not clear.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on line 23, Romanet 2, it starts out, it says, he, B, shall.
Strike B.
Strike B. Strike the first
strike
B.
Strike the first B. All right. Is there a second for that? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The correction has been made. Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question and maybe some information. So this is a continuing contract teacher. Would waive their right to a hearing if they received a U on their on the new performance evaluation going into effect with this statute. Would waive their right and then be moved back to an initial contract where you would have no due process rights in order to avoid a termination proceedings. And I think it kind of muddies the whole water here. And if we want to, the whole idea is to broaden this to be able to link student achievement to teacher accountability. That's the whole idea, and most of the states are doing this. But I think to ask and to do this kind of, I guess I don't see how it would work. And I think, just looking at some of the stats that we had in recalibration, and the stats, the numbers are not very clear from our department over there, but 7,200 teachers roughly last year, 567 of those did not return for this year. Out of that, 360 of those were 4 years or more. So the inference on we're probably terminating somewhere around the report that we got was, and it wasn't great data, but about 60 to 100 teachers a year. So I think the idea is to get this process in place, move it to the Department of Administrative Hearings and all that, not to kind of muddy this up with another thing that kind of ventures outside employment law. So I'm going to vote against this, and I'd urge you to vote against as well. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on in support of the amendment, I think it's a very creative approach, and it's not that muddy. It's quite simple, actually. If a teacher receives a poor evaluation, the district has but one option under the current bill, and that is to terminate the teacher. This gives the teacher and the district another alternative, and that alternative is that we'll keep you on, but you have to give up, and it has to be voluntary because it is a property right, but you're going to voluntarily agree to give up your continuing contract status, and we'll give you one more chance. I think it's fair, and I think it will actually allow districts to maybe rehabilitate a person who they would otherwise terminate. And it does it in a way that is consensual. So I would urge your adoption of the amendment.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have some caution with this. It appears here that we're creating an at-will employee here with a teacher. And we could continue that at-will process for a number of years. So I would be cautious with this. Actually, I would speak against this amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to divide the amendment. Division 1 would be everything except lines 20 and 21, and Division 2 would be lines 20 and 21 if it's divisible.
Which would be Division 1?
Division 1 would be everything except lines 20 and 21.
Chair rules that that is divisible because 20 and 21 are only one piece of what a teacher would have to agree to, and that's the waiving of the rights to a hearing. So proceed with whichever division you wish.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against Division 2, and the reason is there's a Supreme Court case called Loudermill, which gave property rights to teachers. And it said that you can't take those property rights away without due process rights. What this does is this violates, this Romanet 1 violates the prescriptions of Loudermill because it causes a teacher to waive a constitutional property right. And so by doing that, it sets the state up or the school districts up for being sued under 42 U.S.C. 1983, which says that if you deny civil rights by state action, then you can sue and collect your attorney's fees. And so I would urge you to defeat Division 2, and I'm fairly ambivalent about Division 1, frankly, but Division 2 I think is a dangerous thing to include in the statute.
Mr. Speaker.
I would urge caution on this division when obviously we are on third reading. I guess the only thing I would say to my good friend, the Mr. Majority Floor Leader, if they have created that property right, two facts would take that out of the context of the Supreme Court case. And that would be, number one, that this would be a voluntary waiver, and number two, you'd be receiving consideration for that waiver. So if they come to you and they say you're not performing satisfactorily, so you're going to be dismissed, okay, well, can I stay on? Well, yes, I can. Under this piece of law, I can, or you can, but you have to waive your rights to a hearing contest of the notice of termination that may ultimately come. And why do you do that? Well, you, number one, you receive consideration for that. You want to continue to teach when you would otherwise be terminated. And number two, you're voluntarily making that choice. So I'm not sure if every fact situation would fall under that Supreme Court case that has been cited.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. On and in favor of Division 2, Just to sort of reiterate what the good speaker said, I mean, what your choices are is you are fired and you get your due process rights. You get to have your hearing. Or if you do not want to be fired, you can waive those. And that's a very different situation than just taking away a property right. What you're doing, I mean, you're not taking away a teacher's right to their hearing. They are well entitled with their hearing, but that means they have chosen the route in which, and the district has chosen a route in which they are going to be terminated. That's very different from this situation in which you say, okay, I'm going to waive my right and because I'm going to get another chance. I'm going to get another year to try to perform. And if you take this out, you really, I think, significantly undermine what could be potentially be a very useful tool, because then what benefit does the district have? I mean, the benefit they get by offering this, too. One, they get to try to get a teacher in the classroom, rehabilitate them, and get an effective teacher in their district. But two, they get to avoid that risk and that expense and that time and all of that that's wrapped up in the hearing, in a situation where they think it makes sense and where the employee thinks it makes sense. So as a total and as an amendment, this is a really useful tool. But if you eliminate this right to waive those hearing rights, you eliminate much of the incentive for a school district to go this route.
Chairman Brown, first time.
Mr. Speaker, on and for Division II, the other point that should be made there is that you can't waive one of these rights when it only exists theoretically. So you cannot ask a teacher as a part of their initial contract negotiations or some point when this hasn't happened, you can't ask them to waive it. The waiver can't be effective until the right has arisen, and the right doesn't arise until there's a notice of termination. So we don't need to worry about a fact where a school district comes in at some point and says, we want a prospective waiver of this in case it ever happens. That would not be an effective waiver. It would not be effective until the teacher has actually received the notice and the waiver has become, it's gone from inchoate to coate. Only then could they sign an effective waiver. So at that point, when they make the waiver, they know exactly what the situation is and what they are waiving.
Representative Greer, first time.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, not to belabor the point, but beyond and in favor of the division. Same thing is that right exists, but when the notice of termination is given, at that point in time, now if that teacher decides or elects to give up that constitutional right, there is consideration. And the consideration is that you do not have to go through this hearing, but you're giving a chance to continue to teach in that district. And then just a more general comment on this. I think I'm against the overall amendment because of the fact that what I see this being is a way for the districts to avoid the unpleasantries of a contested hearing and reaching a compromise and allowing that teacher to continue on for an additional year so that they can get away from having to go through a hearing, and the only people that are negatively affected in that situation are our students. I'd just like to everybody think about that.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? All those in favor of third reading, we're on the division, I apologize. Let's do the division two first. All those in favor of Division 2 to Third Reading Amendment Number 8, Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
All those in favor, please stand. I should have taken up the other part first. Okay, that's been adopted, and I'm looking at this, and we should probably ask the question on one first because two by itself isn't going to make any sense. But we're going to go on to Division 1. Does anybody have any discussion on Division 1? All right, question being called on Division 1, third. Representative Connolly, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't fast enough. On and against Division One, folks, I've just spent some time trying to think about the scenario that this amendment is imagining. And so what it is, and it's very specific, it's a teacher who has achieved continuing contract status. So that's someone who has worked successfully for, if it passes what we just did, 4 years. So 4 years they've been in the classroom successfully. We have, a district has given them a continuing contract status. But then they have an unsatisfactory mark because of only one of the elements of 217110. And that one is subsection 7. All right, not any of the other subsections, not the incompetency or neglect of duty or insubordination or failure to perform duties, but only subsection 7, which is inadequate performance as determined through annual performance evaluation tied to student academic growth. So it's only the element that is attached to a student test. Okay. So in my mind, what I would like to see is with our best and brightest continuing contract teachers, we give them either the toughest class or we encourage them to do something totally innovative with a tough class. And sometimes that's going to work and sometimes that's not. And it's really possible that might be unsatisfactory. And that's okay. We want to encourage that kind of innovation. And we don't want a district to come back and say, oops, we have a policy that if your students are not performing well enough on a single stakes test, that's grounds for termination. We don't want that. And that's what, in fact, this amendment would allow to happen. And so I would encourage us to vote no on it. But in all honesty, I commend the bringer of it because I think in general this is an interesting concept. But I would vote no and honestly have the accountability committee look at how to perhaps implement something like this in a broader sense rather than in this narrow sense related to Romanet 7. Thank you. Again, on and against the amendment.
Representative Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, fellow representatives, okay, as somebody who has been on a school board, when I look at this in its entirety, including Division II that we passed, this will become the way it's done if we vote for this. The flat truth of the matter is that the administrator says, I want to get rid of that guy, and I'll give him this chance, and if the teacher accepts that chance, he's just gone 1 year later, and it costs the school district a lot less money. So just think of that when you vote on this. If you want to make it easier to do it for less, okay. If you want to protect the teacher a little bit, don't vote for this.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to remind the body that this is a voluntary process. And so if the teacher voluntarily decides that he's going to give up that right and the district determines that they're going to terminate him the following year, that's still the district's choice. But this is not the way it's going to be done, I don't anticipate. There are instances when it will probably be used, but most of the time, the teacher will probably go through the standard termination process because it's voluntary. So I think the amendment's fine, and I would urge you to adopt it.
Representative Greer, for your first time on Division One.
Thank you, Mr. Floor Leader. Get my title straight. I respectfully disagree, and I do appreciate what the sponsor of the amendment has done. However, I strongly feel what we're going to see is the districts are going to throw this option out there, and an educator is going to look at that and say, yeah, I'm going to lose this. So if I agree, I'm going to lose this contested case. So if I agree to this, I've got one more year to relocate my family, one more year to look for a job, and that's one more year that we don't have our kids
with an effective teacher in the classroom. I happen to agree with the speaker from the land of coal and pronghorns that this will become the norm. I just can feel that. So I would encourage us to vote against this Division One.
Representative Freeman.
I agree with the person who comes from the land of coal and pronghorns. It will become the standard operating procedure. And what I've noticed in my experience in the school systems, what will happen is if they really want this teacher to be there, what they'll do is they'll stack the classes to where that they have very good students and the scores will go up. If they don't like the teacher, what will happen is they will create the class from I think I can say hell, and we'll get rid of them, and those students will suffer for another year. I urge you not to support the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time on Division One? First time, second time. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to point out this isn't going to be an avenue that's going to work in every case. You know, there's going to be some individual teachers that have unsatisfactory evaluations where they're not going to they wouldn't consider this. And there's probably other cases where there'll be people that get an unsatisfactory evaluation, but the conditions don't warrant this intermediate aspect. All it does is give administrators and teachers a little bit more protection. I think it protects teachers. If you really read it and understand it, it has a way of protecting teachers. We're talking about somebody who's got a notice of termination. And, you know, if it was me, I would go in and talk about this, you know, if I wanted to really prove myself for another year and forego that, avoid the immediate termination. So, that's my reasoning behind it. I think it would work. It will not work in every single case. It certainly is not going to be used in every instance where there's a termination, because there's just some cases where it's not applicable. So I'd urge you to vote yes on this. Thank you.
Okay. Before I call for the question on this, depending on how this goes out, we will have we may have a motion to reconsider that part two, because it cannot survive without part one. So we're on part one, and all those in favor of third reading amendment number 8, part one, to Senate File 146, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That has failed. Representative Mr. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 24-12A of the Rules of the House, I move to reconsider the vote on Division 2.
Okay, and this is just going to be a voice consideration. All those in favor of Division 2, to Third Reading Amendment Number 8, to Senate File 146, please say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 2, Third Reading Amendment Number 8, has failed. Senate File 146, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger, Blake, Lickry, Bonner, Botten, Brechtel, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Childers, Connolly, Kraft, Davison excused, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparik excused, Croker, Crone, Lockhart excused, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen excused, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick,
Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Ronish, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Harshman, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 4 no, 4 excused.
Senate File 146, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 146 has passed the House. Committee announcements. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your conference committee on the budget amendments will meet at 12:30 in room 204.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, travel, will meet with its slight counterpart from the other side of the Capitol at noon tomorrow upon recess in room H10, where we will finalize our interim topics.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet with its counterparts down the hall tomorrow upon adjournment in room H17 to finalize interim topics.
Chair Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet this afternoon upon adjournment in room 302, and the whole House is invited to attend. We're having a discussion on the Affordable Health Care Act, and we've invited a representative from ALEC to come and give their point of view, and we'd sure like to have a discussion.
Repeat the time and place again for us.
It is upon adjournment in room 302.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The majority party will caucus downstairs in B63 at noon.
It's Representative Barbuto.
Mr. Speaker, the minority party will caucus in the legislative conference room located in the basement. This is closed to everybody, but the coolest people in the legislature, so if you're one of those
Mr.
people.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That was masterful debate, ladies and gentlemen. We spent 5 hours on House Bill 146 and fully vetted it for the people of the state of Wyoming. Good job. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The House stand in recess, 1:30 p.m.